So hello, welcome to my talk about the undergoing rewrite of the storage stack for Yast. We call this Storage NG, next generation. And before I explain the new generation, I have to explain some of the mistakes in the old generation. So the old world, you will see a bit of these diagrams today. I hope you can see this. So we have a disk here, and the disk can have a few partitions. And we have information about the file system as part of the partitions. That looks so far fine, but already this has two major problems. One is you cannot have a file system directly on the disk. You would have to have this file system structure also here. Another problem is ButterFS with multiple devices. It also doesn't fit here. And then one use case I will show in all of these graphs is that suppose you want to know whether a file system is on a USB stick in case you then want to set other FS type options like no fail. This is here still simple. You take the file system or the object with the partition, you take the back reference and then ask the disk if it's a USB disk. So already two problems. Then we have logical volumes or LVM. It looks the same. We have a volume group, and this again can have several subdivices, which are the logical volumes. This is completely analog to the disk and partition setup. The file system is also in the logical volume. When you combine these two, you need a new connection type from the partition to the volume group. And this is another mechanism than the connection from the disks to the partitions or from the volume group to the logical volume. So now when you want to, for example, see this first dev system root file system, whether it's on a USB stick, you have to first follow to the volume group using one mechanism, then ask the volume group about its physical volumes, go find the partition, and then take the link to the disk. So you have two methods you have to use here. And it gets worse when it comes to RAIDs. So with RAID, initially, 10 years ago, you had a RAID and directly a file system on it, or a logical volume. But 5 years ago, the kernel got support to partition RAIDs. So this also didn't fit here because, again, on one of these disks or volume groups, you don't have the file system information. So in the old world, there's a pseudo container, which then holds the unpartitioned RAIDs. And we have another set of RAID classes for partitioned RAIDs. And here they are like the disks, they have subdevices. And so now when you want to know the file system, this first one, X4, whether it's on a USB stick, you don't have to find the parent, this pseudo MD, but you have to ask the RAID which device it has. So then you have three ways you have to query when you want to know whether a file system is on a USB stick. And this makes these traveling the graph or this structure very complicated. This function that, for example, when you delete a partition and you want to know all the devices that are below this partition, like all RAIDs, all LVMs, all LUX encryption, all file systems, these functions are a few hundred lines long and very complicated because every type has to be handled separately. And yeah, then to summarize the problems you see by looking at these layouts, presentation of file system directly on disk is not possible. We have two classes for MD rates. Presentation of ButterFS is not with multiple devices is not possible, and it's complicated to traverse this layout. These are the ones you could see on this layout. There are a few more, like this. We cannot completely save a layout of this on disk. It's just implemented for some of the types. And when we export this from C++ to Ruby, it's all exported in one huge data blob, which is a list of maps and lists and maps and so on and so on. And it's nobody actually knows any longer what these data include, which is also another problem that this data cannot come only comes from this library, but also from Harvey Info and other sources, and they are intermingled into this great map. And yeah, and then some function add another key to this map, and some function need this key, and very complicated. And another problem is also the bindings we have. They are partly generated by Swig, but our callbacks are handmade for whatever reason. So then about 2.5 years ago, the YAST team said, we want to get rid of this target map. It's terrible, undocumented. We don't understand it any longer. And then during one hack week, I came up with a new idea. So this is the new layout. And the basic idea is we place all the devices just in a standard graph, where when you look at these pictures, you immediately should think, yes, this is a graph. Maybe it's just a tree, but in some cases, it's also a graph. And there's only one type of connections in a graph, from nodes to there are edges, and whether you have a file system underneath a RAID or on a disk directly, it doesn't matter. And we use this C++ Boost Graph library, and for example, finding the file system or finding the disk of a file system is a standard breadth first search, which the library provides. It's 5 lines of code and not a few hundred. So now I'll show you some there's a few graphs of the equivalent of the layouts you had just a minute ago. So here we have a disk, and we have an extra object for a partition table, an MS-DOS in this case, two partitions, file system, and swap, and mount point. As you see, this file system is a separate object, so we can connect it to any block device. It's whether it's a disk, whether it's a logical volume, a LUX encrypted device, or a RAID, it doesn't matter. It's always the same. So it can get even simpler here. Maybe the most simple use case, you have a disk, a file system, and a mount point. And it's, yeah, the file system type is this, or class is exactly the same as in the previous example. So here's now the RAID setup. As you can see, two disks can be combined to a RAID and then a file system on it, or you can combine also two disks and then have a partition table with partitions and file system. And there's only one class for RAIDs now, so that saves maybe 1,000 lines of codes. And this also shows why this needs to be a graph, because so you can see one child or one node, the yellow one here, the RAID, can have several parents, which is the case for RAID, LVM, and someday also ButterFS, and multipass, of course, also. Now I have another example. a bit more complicated with Lux and LVM. So we have two disks, GPT partition table, some partitions, a Lux encrypted device, is this purple in the middle, and then a volume group behind that. And whether you place this encrypted, this Lux, you can place it behind the partition, or you could place it behind the logical volume. From the graph structure, it doesn't matter. It's always the same classes. You use the same algorithms to find the parents, the children, whatever. It's always the same. So, but a device graph won't install your system. You have to also think, what do I have to do when I install a system? And here we use a very generic approach. We have two device graphs. One is the one that was probed during startup of the YAST system, and then YAST modifies it either via the proposal or via the expert partition or both, it doesn't matter. Then we have a big function which compares these device graphs and generates an action graph. We call it action graph because it consists of, well, maybe one action, but more likely a few hundred. And this action define then what has to be done. And here's a rather simple one. So the first action is create an MS-DOS partition table. Then underneath this are creating three partitions. These have to be created in order. First, partition 1, 2, 3. That's actually a limitation of parted, because when you create a partition with parted, you cannot say which number it should have. You just say create one and it picks the next free number. So this graph heavily depends on the tools you use. With FDisk, this ordering would not be required. And then after you've created partitions, you can create the file system, mount the file system, and add the mount file, add the mount point to fstab. But of course, before you add it to fstab during installation, you have to mount your root file system. That's this this arrow from the middle above the purple one to the one on the left. This is a very simple graph, so only three partitions with file system involved. Unfortunately, it gets complicated. This is the standard setup when you add ButterFS subvolumes, because we create about 20 of those, and they have to be created, mounted, and all added to FSTUB. No, that's why this huge, whatever you call it, this, I wouldn't call it mess, but yeah, it gets very complicated. And this is still just one disk, no RAID setup, no Lux encrypted. You can have device action graphs with 300-400 actions. And we're also not deleting anything. If you delete something, you maybe have 100 more or something like that. And yeah, one note maybe, then just takes this action graph, does a topologic sort, and then it has one ordering that works. The order is not completely defined. Often you could interchange some actions, but it doesn't matter. And the aim is not to parallelize this. This could maybe be added later. You would, with some extra effort, you could also parallelize this. So what new features, because users care about features. So obviously a file system directly on disk that already works. And actually people want that day when you have a file system directly on a disk, and this disk comes from a storage attached network, you can resize the disk while your system is running. So you can increase the disk, and if you have a file system on the disk directly, you can just say resize the file system and you are done. If you have a partition, first you have to resize the partition. Oh, this doesn't work when the partition is mounted, so you have to shut down your service, and that's very bad. I mean, with newer partitions this will also work, but still without a partition table it's easier. we have only one RAID class for only one class for RAIDs that will, for example, allow that you can create a RAID and then immediately say that you want to partition it, which is not possible in the old classes. And there it's during startup decided whether a RAID is partitioned or unpartitioned, and you cannot change it at runtime. We will have ButterFS multiple device support. We will have full control over ButterF subvolumes. So you can, this is currently very limited in the old class. It's just a list of the subvolumes, but yeah, very bad. You cannot assign especially a bound point to a subvolume. It's yeah, very limited. Now it's all possible. We have already support for bcache, at least partly. We can probe it and you can already use it. So when you have a bcache setup, you can already use it for creating a file system on it. And we will get a root file system encryption, which is also requested right quite often. A few more internal new features is that the devices now are directly exported to the Ruby from C++ via SWG bindings. They are all generated automatically. The callbacks also are generated automatically. So there's no handmade stuff here. And this makes programming in Ruby, I think, far easier than with dealing with this target map. And this library itself has far more unit tests. We have unit tests for probing, where we just mock the external commands we run, because someday I realized basically all information we get from the system is gathered via running external commands, let's say, whether it's part-ed, or LVM tools or MDRAID. You basically always run external commands or look at some files in sys or proc. And by mocking those, we can test the probing, which was also not possible in the old library. And we have unit tests for the action graph generation, so that we see that no action is lost or dependency is missing or something like that. And we have integration tests with binding with Python. And another feature is we have remote probing. Since all information is gathered via external commands, you can just use SSH to log into another machine and then get the information from there. Another feature is that we write basically most of the storage stack in just new, which is also is the proposal, which is currently maybe the least maintainable code in this area. And the new one will give you further options to influence the proposal. Like you can select if there's in Windows, should it be kept or should it be removed? And if you have an other Linux system, would you prefer to keep it or would you prefer to delete it or replace it? Yes. Okay, then some references for those who would like to get more into this project. The first ones are the Git repos of the main project, that is the libstorageng, the yastorageng, and the yastpartitioner. This yastpartitioner will be the expert partition. It's now a separate package. And the last one is the from the build service, where we build the packages, and we also build an ISO, which already works. It can install a system with normal partitions, LVM, Lux encryption. I think that's about it. And for example, you can already install with encrypted root partition. It just doesn't boot. I've informed the Grub2 maintainer about this. So, but yeah, we still have some time for this to get ready. About it. Timeline, we aim for /15. So in a few months, this should be in Tumbleweed. So that's it. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Neukomm. The question is whether we can deal with non-volatile memory disks or DIMMs. Not yet. We have feature requests for this. We will likely have to look at it. Yes. Other questions? No, then thanks for coming.